This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
CJ Stewart, filling in for Maggie and Perloff here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Number to call in, 855-212-4227. We got a lot to talk about on today's show, still including the future of Travis Kelce. But before that, I want to get to the phone lines here. Number to call in, 855-212-4227. Let's get to George, who's in Los Angeles. George, you're on the Infinity Sports Network with EJ Stewart. What's happening?
Good morning, EJ.
Hey.
Yeah, I definitely think that Matthew Stafford should be in the Hall of Fame. He's still producing at a very good rate. He spent years in Detroit in a rough situation. He went to L.A., won a Super Bowl for the Rams, and he's still a high-caliber quarterback, and I definitely think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree, George. George, you know, I knew when I said Matthew Stafford's name, his name would appear. Shout out to George. Thanks for the phone call. It's like a Candyman. Say his name and I will appear. That's George when it comes to anything Los Angeles Rams. I mentioned Matthew Stafford once. We'll talk about him in the next hour regarding his future. I don't disagree. I think Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer. I think it's not something I necessarily agreed with for the majority of his career, but I think the appreciation I've had for Matthew Stafford increased once he got to LA and increased, quite frankly, after his Super Bowl win. Because similarly to Jalen Hurts, I didn't feel like Matthew Stafford played all that great in the Super Bowl that he won. I thought that Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp were the bigger reasons why they won the Super Bowl. I think that he was fine and good enough, and they won, and that's okay. But I looked at that Super Bowl and said, okay, he's got one, so that's good. That helps his resume. He was okay in it, so we'll see how the rest of his career is going. I feel like in the year, the last two seasons particularly, the year after didn't go well, but the last two seasons particularly where he has not had the dream team that the Los Angeles Rams put together around him in that first year. And I've seen him have to do way more to carry younger Rams teams and push them to the precipice of, you know, deep runs in the playoffs. They've lost in these playoff games, but he has played phenomenally well. I've looked at this and said, man, this guy is a baller. And when you consider the numbers he's put up, when you consider the championship that he has, I think there's no question he's a Hall of Famer at this point. I would have no problem putting him in. 855-212-4227 is the number to call here. It was an interesting story that kind of rolled around over the course of the weekend. We talk about the NFL offseason. That one regarded the Kansas City Chiefs and the future of their tight end, Travis Kelce, who you heard if you listened to Maggie and Perloff last week, is seriously considering retirement. You know, he just says he does not want to make an emotional decision. He doesn't want to do anything crazy at this point. But he sounds like a guy that was extremely disappointed in how he left the field and how he played in the last Super Bowl, and a guy who looked at what it's going to take to get back to the Super Bowl, the grind, the work, the attention to detail, the blood, sweat, and tears. He looked down the barrel of that as he walked off that field and wondered if he's willing to do that all over again. And I think that if you know the violence that goes with an NFL football game, the violence that comes with an NFL football season, the amount of punishment these guys take, there's no shame at all in these guys, especially a guy like Travis Kelce, who has reached a level of stardom that I think most of us did not anticipate he would reach, it is no shock and no shame at all for a player of his caliber and his career for him to look at that and say, maybe I can be doing better things than bashing my head into other people. Maybe it's time for me to look at life beyond football. Maybe it's Hollywood. Maybe it's more stuff with his girlfriend Taylor Swift. Whatever that may be, I think considering what he's given to the game, what he's given to the Kansas City Chiefs organization, I think you would respect his decision to maybe take some time and wonder if retirement is the right way to go. You would also think, considering what he's done for the Kansas City Chiefs, that they would be respectful in him trying to come to that conclusion and figure out whether or not playing next year was the best thing for him. But the reporting I saw yesterday suggests that is not the case. Because we saw Travis Kelce get emotional. We saw him, you know, very frustrating. We saw him have very, very difficult conversations with his brother on the New Heights podcast about what his future entails. And we played that sound last week, and I'm sure you can go, and I'm going to do a commercial for the New Heights podcast, but I'm sure you can either listen to that podcast or you can find all those clips all over the internet because they were all over the place last week. He didn't sound like a guy that was ready to make a decision tomorrow. He didn't sound like a guy that knew really what he wanted to do. He seemed kind of lost after the game. He only spoke for a couple minutes after the game and then ditched the Super Bowl press conferences in his podcast. He seemed very despondent and disappointed, obviously, and a little bit of a loss for words for what his future holds. And the Chiefs said, okay, sure, but we're going to need an answer by next month. Yeah, I know the NFL offseason is like 4 or 5 months long, and you're a multiple-time Pro Bowler, a multiple-time Super Bowl champion, you're a walk-in Hall of Famer, you've done everything for the Kansas City Chiefs organization we can ask. You're the second most important player in the history of this organization. And in theory, we probably should be willing to sit back and let you take your time and make a decision on what you want to do. But according to reports, the Kansas City Chiefs are looking at this Travis Kelce situation and saying, we need to know by March 14th. March 14th is the date that they want to know whether or not Travis Kelce will be back with the Kansas City Chiefs, which when I saw this, I was like, oh, I know what's happening here. The Kansas City Chiefs are soft launching the end of Travis Kelce's career as a tight end for them, as a star of the Kansas City Chiefs. Because to me, given what he has done for the organization, given the caliber player that he is, and I understand there's a roster bonus coming up. I understand that there are money implications for what it means for Travis Kelce if he decides to remain an NFL player and remain with the Kansas City Chiefs beyond March 14th. I understand that. But this just is Travis Kelce. Again, the second most important player in your organization. You would think an $11 million roster bonus shouldn't be the end-all, be-all deciding factor whether or not the Chiefs are happy or upset with Travis Kelce and the time he's taking in making a very personal decision. Which to me tells me that they look at Travis Kelce and they watched what I saw. A guy who looked disengaged, a guy who looked like he was outmatched by quicker, more physical, more athletic players, a guy who was washed, a guy who was over the hill. And it's not to say that Travis Kelce can't be a quality player and a contributing player for a team that makes the playoffs or be a third or fourth option on an offense. But I think the Chiefs and the team that they've built and the way this team has shifted from having star wide receivers like Tyreek Hill and star players around Patrick Mahomes to kind of really becoming, again, more of a defensive team, a team that's going to rely heavily on defense, running game, and a combination of picking your spots with Patrick Mahomes, making big plays when it matters most, but not necessarily Patrick Mahomes putting his Superman cape on and throwing for 350 yards and winning games by 30 points. That's not this Kansas City Chiefs era. So I think they know that. I think knowing that the smaller margins they have to enjoy to win football games and to win championships at this stage of the Chiefs quote-unquote dynasty, I think they realize if Travis Kelce is your best skill position offensive player, you don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And I think this is them coming to a harsh reality of if he's not the caliber of player, and he is not in the right mental shape, the right physical shape, all the shapes you need to beat a team like the Philadelphia Eagles on Super Bowl Sunday, or to continue to hold off a hungry Buffalo Bills team, or continue to hold off a hungry Baltimore Ravens team, then what are we doing here? Because my favorite thing, one of my favorite quotes in sports is from Charles Barkley when it comes to older athletes. Because we saw Travis Kelce struggle. We saw the conversations early in the year, especially about whether or not he was in the right shape, considering he did a lot of traveling. He was hosting Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? He was doing a lot of stuff that wasn't football related, and it seemed like he wasn't necessarily in the tip-top shape where it's accustomed to seeing Travis Kelce in. And Travis Kelce in his podcast mentioned how, is he willing to get in the right shape necessary to compete at the highest level? He mentioned that himself, which tells me that he knows he wasn't in the right shape this year. Which leads to conversations saying, okay, this year, you know, first year being this massive A-list celebrity, it brings a lot to the table, a lot of things he may not have expected. There's an adjustment period. Give him another year, and maybe you'll see a different Travis Kelce. But I think about this Charles Barkley quote when we talk about older athletes, because there's this concept, and we talk about it a bunch with Aaron Rodgers too, that, yeah, he was a little beat up, and yeah, he was a little out of shape, but don't worry, even though he's 35 years old, going to be on 36 next year, give Travis Kelce an offseason to get healthy and get in shape. Trust me, Travis Kelce will be a different player, a much better player next season. And Charles Barkley talking about his own career and talking about other NBA players and other NFL athletes and all athletes all across the gamut. When we talk about guys, quote unquote, taking an offseason to get rested, to get healthy, that's his favorite thing. The idea that the guy can get healthy, that as an older athlete, you'll be able to turn back the clock with an offseason. And Charles Barkley always said, when you get to a certain age, you don't get healthy. You're just rested. There is no getting healthy when you're age 35, going to be 36-year-old tight end. The punishment you've taken, the nicks and bruises you've taken, all that mileage, it's there. The tread on the tire is not going away. So this concept that Travis Kelce is going to somehow get himself in better shape, he's going to be faster, he's going to be more healthy, he's going to be less prone to injury as he gets older, is just not in touch with reality. Now, if you're talking about the Major League Baseball steroid era, when Barry Bonds was hitting 460-foot home runs at age 40 and Roger Clemens was winning 22 games as a 40-year-old, that's different. Yeah, those guys had special help that allowed them to be greater players in their 30s, late 30s and early 40s than they ever were in their prime. This is not the reality of where athletes are today. You do not have athletes who reach age 36 as a wide receiver or tight end, a pass-catching player, and they become better than they were the year before. Whatever you got from Travis Kelce this year, you have to assume you're getting worse. I don't even think you could assume you're getting the same Travis Kelce. We're not seeing him turn back the clock. You're seeing probably a more diminished version of Travis Kelce next year, and if that is the case, and you have a diminished version of Travis Kelce, and you look at the Chiefs' offense, you look at their options on how to improve their team, the likelihood that they bring in a massive star at wide receiver or a massive star in the backfield, I don't think that that's all that likely. So we're talking about bringing back Rashee Rice, another year of Xavier Worthy. If that's the case, you're probably looking at the team saying, all right, well, Travis Kelce is probably still the most important skilled player on that team, and if that's the case, you ain't winning the Super Bowl. So I think the Kansas City Chiefs are looking at this deadline of giving him this roster bonus and looking at this offseason, realizing that they're going to have to do their damnedest to try to put together a way better skill position package next to Patrick Mahomes in order to compete with the top teams in the NFL to go back to win the Super Bowl. And I think they're soft launching the end of Travis Kelce. I think they're saying, hey, bro, like, we love you. You're going in the Ring of Honor. You're getting your number retired. You'll never have to buy a drink or buy a meal again for as long as you are in Kansas City, as long as you are alive. because of all, everything you've done for this organization. But we can't be waiting until June or July to figure out whether or not you want to play. We just can't. We're not afforded that opportunity given how much the rest of the league has caught up. And later in the show, I'll play sound from Super Bowl Sunday where you have quotes from Chris Jones talking about the fact that the league is caught up and that they now have work to do because of the ass kicking they took from the kids from the Philadelphia Eagles. There's no time to waste. So I think when they look at what happened and look at how much of a non-factor Travis Kelce was and how much he was unable to make a difference in that blowout loss, I think the Chiefs are in a situation where they can't really cut Travis Kelce. They can't trade Travis Kelce. I don't think Travis Kelce wants to play for another team. But I think if you ask them in their heart of hearts, do you want Travis Kelce back? This is a cutthroat league. I think that you, if they gave them truth to him, I think they'd say, I think we'd like to see what other younger options are out there. You want to talk about what this draft and the talent that is there? The tight end talent is deep. I know we're very early in draft season. A lot of you guys are going to be getting very familiar with these players over the course of the next few months. Maybe you're not there yet. But there are dogs at the tight end position in this draft. And the Kansas City Chiefs are one of those teams that have not been shy about taking skill position players in the first and second rounds of the draft to help Patrick Mahomes. Now, not all of them have worked out. Like, Sky Moore was a disaster. That was a terrible pick. But Xavier Worthy worked out pretty well, Rashee Rice is a knucklehead off the field, but he's a good player when he's on the field. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that wasn't a good pick in the first round. But they are aggressive with skill position players. I think there is a very good chance, if you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, what they do in this draft, early on, you're looking at them taking a skill position player. I think they see these tight ends in this draft, and they're saying, we can get younger, more athletic. Noah Gray is good, but he ain't Travis Kelce. He ain't no star. This may be the opportunity to move on and start to kind of build whatever the Chiefs' offense looks like in the post-Travis Kelce era. I think this is their way of kind of soft launching the end of Travis Kelce. March 14th for a guy who won you three Super Bowls? I mean, come on. We know what time it is. We're not dumb. You don't put a deadline on a guy like that if you really think that you can't win without him. If the Chiefs thought that they had no chance to win a Super Bowl without Travis Kelce, they'd say, take your time. We'll wait till July. You don't even have to deal with mini camp. You can miss some of training camp if it means you'll be back on the field in that first week in September. They're not doing that. They want to know by March 14th if he wants to play football. That means that tells me they don't want him that bad enough. And they damn sure don't want to give him $11 million, considering what they saw from him this season. 855-212-4227. What do you think about Travis Kelce and his future? Hearing that the Chiefs want to know by March 14th, the deadline that is the roster bonus he is due, they want to know by then whether or not he's playing next year. Meanwhile, you heard Travis Kelce last week, very confused, very despondent, very concerned about whether or not he can do the thing necessary to get himself in the right shape to play next year, meaning that he's going to take a lot of time to make that decision. Chiefs say, I want to know by next month. Let me know before I have to give you $11 million if you're going to be on this football team. For a guy that won you three championships, for the guy that's arguably the best tight end in the history of the NFL. Come on. We're not stupid. 855-212-4227 is the number to call. You can also hit me up on social media. EJ_Stewart. You hit up the show on social media as well. At Maggie and Pearl. Both of those are on Twitter/X. Let's go back to the phone lines real quick. We've been talking about NBA All-Star Weekend, which was bad all around. And Sunday was an absolute joke. We played some of the sound. We'll play some of it later as well. But I want to get back to the phone lines here real quick before we take a break. Let's go to Roger, who's in the good, great state of Washington. What's up, Roger?
Yeah, I like to look. Yeah, you did a great job covering a bad topic there, it sounds like. Holy cow.
Hey, thank you, man.
Yeah. I want to recommend my friend's son's team. They're playing NAIA. Johnson University playing Bryan College Wednesday night at 7:30, and you'll see a better performance than they'll see from these NBA players, I guarantee you, okay?
I'll be honest, I can't disagree after what I saw last night. I can't disagree. Yeah, you definitely won't get any lame 2015 Kevin Hart jokes. That I can guarantee you.
Holy cow, I didn't even watch that. I caught some clips of the highlights of the dunk contest, and Matt McClung and the kids from San Antonio were the only two that could compete in my high school slam dunk contest back in '80. You know what I'm saying? Those other two, I don't even know what they were doing out there. You know what I'm saying?
It was bad. Those two, Buzelis and Jackson. It's bad enough that you can't get the stars, but then when you get guys who are young players who haven't established themselves, who then also can't even dunk on the NBA dunk contest. They were very lucky that McClung and Castle were as good as they were.
Yeah, they were good. They were solid. And football, Detroit, I agree with you totally about Detroit Lions, man. They were war of attrition this year. I thought they were the best team all year. But with this long season, man, it's going to be hard to keep teams together. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. No question. And Roger, man, you talked to me about hitting up the gambit of topics. You hit the gambit of topics in that call. Thank you much for the phone call. Yeah, it's always going to be hard with the era of free agency with, I think, you know, players getting bigger, stronger, faster, which I think means more devastating injuries that can change the landscape of seasons than maybe we've seen in the history of the NFL. I think because of the nature of the players all being bigger, stronger, faster, they're suffering worse injuries. You know, I've never seen so many like gruesome broken leg injuries in the past 10 years than in my entire life. There was a time when the Joe Theismann leg injury was like the Joe Theismann leg injury. Like that was the only time you saw a leg break like that and as devastating and as crippling as that was. Now I feel like you see that every year. You saw that with Aiden Hutchinson, one of the best defensive players in the NFL. So it is tough to keep teams together. The Lions are going to have that challenge. Not maybe necessarily so much with the guys on the team, but they will have problems with losing Aaron Glenn and losing Ben Johnson. But I agree with you. If you're telling me next year who's the best team in the NFL coming into next season, I'm not someone who's just going to say, okay, you won a championship, you're automatically the best team. I'm looking at every year that's different. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, that's one thing. The Chiefs seem to be the dominant team. But if I'm any other team win the Super Bowl, I'm looking at the whole landscape. And I watched the whole NFL season. And before the injuries, the unprecedented amount of injuries derailed the Lions were the best team in the NFL. I think they enter next season also as the best team in the NFL, which is why I can't sit here and tell you that the Eagles are primed for a repeat. 855-212-4227. This is EJ Stewart filling in for Maggie and Perloff. So much to do on this show. We got to get to this story. What happened in Champaign, Illinois, as they tried to honor one of their recent legends is something that I will never forget. We'll talk about it as a group after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent.
That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why did they do this to Terrence Shannon? This may be the worst jersey retirement ceremony in the history of sports. This is EJ Stewart filling in for Maggie and Perloff on the Maggie and Perloff Show on Infinity Sports Network. No number to call in, 855-212-4227. Also hit us up on social media. You can find us, Maggie and Pearl, on Twitter /X. You can find me on Twitter, EJ underscore Stewart. Terrence Shannon this weekend had his number retired at the University of Illinois. Or Illinois University? I don't know. I think I got that right. Yeah, University of Illinois. I got that right. He played not his whole career there, but he did have his best college seasons playing for the Illini. Last year, a little bit of a weird situation. There was a rape case that was thrown out against Terrence Shannon. He was fully exonerated. And he came back after a brief suspension, had a phenomenal season for the Illini. And he played 2 years there after playing 3 years at Texas Tech. And considering impact he's had on a program that really has kind of been dormant since the Darren Williams, D. Brown days, I could see why they wanted to retire his jersey. You know, maybe the bar for retiring jerseys at Illinois may be a little low. I mean, it's a little fast to give Terrence Shannon a jersey retirement, but they didn't want to do it. So here we go. Terrence Shannon, jersey retirement day in Champaign, Illinois for Illinois. He gives his speech. They give a little promo, thanking him for his contributions. And then you get to the point of the big reveal of the jersey that will hang in the rafters at Illinois, an arena that I do not know the name of. I'm sure Manny Rodriguez does. And the banner is upside down. Guys, they had what had to have been a 100-foot by 100-foot banner that was gigantic, that was hovering over the court. And he looks up to see what his jersey retirement is going to look like, what that's going to look like in the rafters. And the jersey, the banner, the whole thing is upside down, bro. Upside down. And I sit here. I sat on social media. I must have watched these videos 100 times. I wanted to see every angle. I wanted to see every take on it. I wanted to see as many things on the Terrence Shannon jersey retirements I could possibly find, because this was something like from The Office. You couldn't write this in 30 Rock. You do a jersey retirement for one of your players and the jersey and the banner. We're not talking about an actual game jersey. Like, the full banner, the one that's going to hang up in the arena, is upside down. Imagine if the Philadelphia, like, I'm trying to paint this picture for you guys because I think you need to understand just how crazy this is. Imagine when we get to week one and the Eagles unveil their Super Bowl banner next year. And when they unveil the Super Bowl banner, it is upside down. The words are upside down. The Lombardi Trophy is upside down. The whole thing. That is what happened during this jersey retirement. The whole.
Great.
I know Manny would enjoy it. I'm sure a lot of Eagles haters would enjoy it. There are plenty of them that live in this world and live in this country because a lot of people do not rock with the Eagles or Philadelphia. But the embarrassment that would come from a ceremony where you're lifting a banner and you put it backwards or you put it upside down is unbelievable. And Terrence Shannon is standing there on the court. He doesn't really know what to make of it because he's like, oh, man, he knows this is about to be a meme. He knows this is now the one thing he's going to be remembered for. Because it's not like Terrence Shannon took Illinois to the Final Four. It's not like he won a national championship. It's not like he was the national player of the year. He was a very good player, a star player for Illinois. But in terms of leaving his mark on college basketball as a whole, most people will probably not really remember the Terrence Shannon era of Illinois basketball. But I have no problem with them wanting to remember him because he was a good player there. But if you wanted to remember him, you can at least make his banner not upside down when you unveil it to the entire world. I mean, that, I could not believe it. And I wish there was sound to play for you guys. It really is not. It's a visual thing, so I'm trying my best to paint the picture for you guys. Because it's unfathomable to me that this happened. How is this possible? So I have to ask the crew the questions. I got my guy Manny here who's with me as always. I got Alice and I got Ray with me. Number one, do you have to do a new ceremony for Terrence Shannon? And number two, if you were Terrence Shannon, would you still want your jersey retired? I'll go to Manny first on this. Two-part question.
No, we don't have another ceremony retirement.
That's the end. Yeah. That's what he has to be remembered for his entire career, well, for the rest of his life, is that ceremony. That's all we got.
I don't think he's going to be remembered for that moment. He's going to be remembered for his career at Illinois, the few years that he's at Illinois. Oh. We're not. This isn't going to be the everlasting image out of State Farm Center.
There you go.
From his time at State Farm Center, that's not going to be the everlasting image, the final moment. It's going to be the moments where he was on the court.
But they didn't win anything, Manny. Like, that would make some sense if they won a national championship. I don't even know if they won the conference when he was there. Like, if there was some moment that Terrence Shannon had at Illinois, and I'm sure you guys are calling 855-212-4227. Maybe we got some Illinois fans or Big Ten fans that can enlighten me. I watch college basketball. I watch a lot of Terrence Shannon because I'm a big NBA draft guy. He was an NBA draft guy I wanted to follow. I feel like I actually know a decent amount of Terrence Shannon's time at Illinois. Like, you're talking about these moments that happen. What moments? This is the moment now. This is all he's got. He's got an upside-down banner that was displayed at Terrence Shannon night at the State Farm Arena, whatever they call it.
State Farm Center.
Whatever they call the arena in Champaign, Illinois.
They're going to remember the 23 points that he scored as a freshman for that, as a senior for that entire season. That's what they'll remember.
He was a good player, but again, like, there was no championship involved. Illinois, they've had some, they had, you know, Darren Williams, they had D. Brown, they've had some stars there. I mean, he's not those guys, I don't think. I'm gonna go behind the glass. Alex, do you do a new ceremony after that? Do you have to say, hey, you know what? That was bad. We got to do something for you. Let's redo this.
No, I agree with Manny. I wouldn't do it again.
Oh, my God.
I just feel like, what if they mess it up again?
Well, that's a scenario I did not consider. But at the same time, I also did not consider it was possible that during a banner ceremony that someone could do this. So I guess in theory, it could be done again. But you got to take the risk, though, right? Like, you got to take the risk and do it right. I don't know. I feel like you got to do the ceremony over. Ray, am I on the island here? Am I the one who thinks that they need to do a redo?
If it wasn't for the internet, I would be with the guys. But because it went viral, everyone saw it.
Right.
It's a mess up, and you want to celebrate this guy's career at Illinois, you got to run that back.
Exactly.
And the person who messed it up needs to stand next to him as well. We need to put shine on the guy that ruined the moment for him, too. Like, run it back, shake his hand, make a thing of it, and let's get it right.
No, they'll remember Terrence Shannon, his senior year, for winning the Big Ten tournament and making it to the Elite Eight
of
the
NCAA.
Well, yeah, I had to.
Manny doing a lot of work on
Come
sports.
Come on, man. You didn't remember that right away. Run that jersey retirement back.
SportsReference.com getting plenty of hits during this segment from me and Manny trying to figure out the moment that Terrence Shannon had at Illinois. A very good player, but again, no Final Fours. A Big Ten tournament championship. Okay, I guess there was
34
there.
In the championship game against Wisconsin.
He was a good player, and you couldn't unfurl his banner correctly. I'm trying to think, is there any more embarrassing moment you could have as an athlete at a jersey retirement or a Hall of Fame?
Like, not necessarily jersey retirement, but like if you get a statue or if you get like a bust. Like I don't know if you saw the Cristiano, Ronaldo one or the Dwayne Wade one. Yeah it's pretty. I mean, like the last one that was good that I remember was Dirk.
Yeah,
but I think it was like really small. Like it was a mini version of it. But then they actually like made
the Allen Iverson one was miniature. I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, I do remember
the Allen Iverson one that's
drawn to scale.
Sits outside of. Manny's just throwing crazy straights today. The Allen Iverson one that sits outside of the practice facility in Camden, New Jersey for the Sixers is like the size of the little trophy they gave Kevin Hart. At the NBA All-Star game. I mean, it is small. And I know Allen Iverson was not that big, but it was like, you guys couldn't do a little better than that. I mean, come on, Illinois. What are y'all doing? And I personally don't really love the, as soon as the guy gets to the NBA, give him a retirement jersey. I'll be real, and I'm going to be on an island on this. I thought Caitlin Clark was too early. I don't think that you needed the year after she's gone to get, let time fester. There's a reason why for the Hall of Fame we let 5 years go by, because then we can look back on those memories with more fondness. You can't really do that when as soon as a person leaves, you're already honoring their retirement or honoring their time there now that they've gone. I don't love that as a whole in terms of how the college sports do it. They do it with all these guys and all these women, but if you're going to do it, and you're going to do it for a guy that most people may not remember actually played at Illinois, you got to do the jersey thing right. You got to do it right. I think that they should do it over. And if I was him, I'd almost consider, yo, man, I don't even need the jersey retirement. Just take the thing down. I'll just move on. Because what does it do for Terrence Shannon to have his jersey retired? I mean, it is a great honor, I guess. But I think he'll be just fine. I would be so disappointed and so insulted that you couldn't even get this thing right that I would be – maybe I'd take time to cool off and I would understand it. But initially, I'd be like, you know what? Forget it. I don't even need my jersey up there. You guys are clowns. Because that was unbelievable. Let's get to headlines. We got Manny Rodriguez with those top stories for today. Manny, what we got for us?
Well, EJ, the main conversation this morning has been the NBA All-Star Game. But let's take a break from that and let's talk about what the NHL did this year with this edition of the All-Star Game. It's the Four Nations Face-Off, and it brought some incredible scenes on Saturday night as eternal rivals Canada and the United States battled in Montreal and, well, America.
Faber, empty net, center ice, Larkin has Gensel with him. Jake Gensel scores! And the United States leads 3-1 with 1:19 to go!
Yeah, that was Sean McDonough on ABC with a little help of Leonard Skinner. Jake Gensel, his second goal of the night, was an empty netter as the U.S. beat Canada on Saturday night 3-1. And let's not bury the lead here. Following all the chatter of tariffs and annexation from government officials, our friends from north of the border have taken a liking to booing the Star-Spangled Banner before games. So there was an added buzz to USA Canada on Saturday, and it showed early as the Americans and Canadians got into three fights in the first 9 seconds of the game. And many people watched it, EJ. It peaked at 5.1 million, that peak number, the most viewed non-Stanley Cup game since 2019, and 4.4 million people stuck around and watched it. That was the average number that it pulled. With the victory over Canada, the U.S. clinches a spot in the championship game. We'll find out who they play after tonight. It could still be the Canadians. And the tournament, by the way, it now shifts from Montreal, Quebec to Boston, Massachusetts.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of return the favor once he gets to Boston. Boston already known as a hostile crowd, so we'll see how that goes. Round of applause for the NHL, for hockey as a whole, for putting on this event. I mean, what the amount of competitiveness, the intensity that we've seen in these games, and them being rewarded for that effort with those numbers that will then result in more bread for the entire league. I'm very happy for the NHL. I'm very happy for these hockey guys. And keep doing what you're doing, because this has been awesome. I didn't get to really watch initially because I think it wasn't really on my radar what they were doing. We talked about it a little bit last week. And then I saw those fights in that competitive game that you saw between Canada and USA. I'm like, all right, I'm seated. I'm ready. I'll be trying to figure out what's happening in this next game.
Yeah, and it's crazy that, I mean, the NBA is having this issue right now with the All-Star game. The NHL had this issue years ago. So that's why they've tried different things over the last few years in the NHL with the All-Star game, going from, you know, like a drafting type mm-hmm. way that they did it a couple of years ago in the NBA to doing it as division stars, you know, duking it out in a four-team tournament. So to see what they've been able to hatch up with this tournament and just the pride that each player is playing with for their country, it's genuinely intriguing. Some people may not like it as fans, but I think the players have really taken... There's something about hockey players when it comes to putting on the Stars and Stripes or putting on the Maple Leaf or putting on the three crowns of the Swedish flag, whatever the case may be. There's just something different about putting on the... It's almost like soccer. When you put on the national jersey, there's just a different feel to it.
Yep.
By the way, Canada, they take on Finland today at 1 p.m. Eastern, while the States, they take on Sweden at 8 p.m. Women's college hoops, the Gamecocks 71-game win streak at home is over. Number 7, UConn stuns number 4, South Carolina by 29. 87-58 is the final score. A 4-year-old streak has come to an end for Dawn Staley and her group. She's hoping it's a wake-up call.
You play a team like UConn, like now, you win. It may have some ill effect to the next game. You lose. And it definitely will wake you up. Mm. So hopefully it will be the latter, and we can get back going against Arkansas on Thursday.
South Carolina's last loss at home, December 3rd, 2020, a 54-46 loss to North Carolina State.
Caitlin Clark obviously not playing college basketball anymore. So perhaps,
is that right?
So perhaps there hasn't been as much attention on this show or just nationally regarding this women's college basketball season. But when we get to March, we're going to have some heavyweight battles. Because some of the games we've just seen recently, we saw USC upset UCLA after a wonderful performance from Juju Watkins. Now you have Paige Beckers and UConn going to South Carolina, ending that streak. Heidi Hidalgo for Notre Dame. Texas is awesome. LSU is great again. Like, there are some really great teams in this tournament. And when we get to March and we start seeing teams battling for Final Fours, battling for national championships, I think you'll see that the women's college basketball have another kind of mini resurgence. Not so much maybe the attention that you saw last year, but I think you'll see a lot more as we get closer to March.
And you mentioned some of those schools. Top-ranked UCLA gets hot late down the stretch. They defeat number 22 Michigan State 75-69. A strong fourth quarter gets number 3 Texas past number 5 LSU 65-58. And Vanderbilt's Michaela Blakes sets the Division I record for points in a game by a freshman as she nets 55 points in Vandy's OT win over Auburn 98-88. She breaks the record set by Elena Deladon of 54 points set back in 2010. Elijah, back to you.
Elijah, going with the government there. I appreciate that, Manny. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers. What the F is he up to? We'll figure that out next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, this is getting fun. DJ Stewart on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Number to call in 855-212-4227. You guys know how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. You guys know how I feel about Aaron Rodgers and his time here with the Jets. I told you that I would not re-engage with the team as a Jets fan until Aaron Rodgers stepped on to MetLife Stadium, walked to the 50-yard line, grabbed the microphone and said, "I'm sorry for the reign of terror I've had on this organization for the last 2 years. I retire as NFL quarterback and Jets quarterback, and I'll see my way out." I didn't get all that, but I did at least get the Jets moving off of Aaron Rodgers, making that announcement last week. Now, anyone who's listening to the show knows how I feel, but just real quickly, I think the Jets are making the right decision to move on from Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you can win with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback in 2025. I think that's just the reality. But it was interesting to hear, as the conversation happened between Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, when he flew from the West Coast to sit down with Glenn, sit down with new GM Darren Mooji, and hear their thoughts on what his future was going to be. When they told him he wanted out, Aaron Rodgers tried to hold on.
Baby, please!
He sounded like Dwayne Wayne in a different world as Whitley's about to get married and him down the aisle being carried away by a bunch of dudes saying, baby, please!
Baby, please!
Baby, please! Aaron Rodgers, who at every turn made everything about himself, who made every mistake and every issue that went on with the Jets organization about being someone else's fault and not his own. When they decided that it's not, maybe it's not us, Aaron, maybe it's you, it's time for you to get out. Aaron Rodgers, according to reports from the New York Post, pleaded with the Jets for them to reconsider and bring him back.
Baby, please!
It's just rich. And to me, it speaks to what I think is the reality of Aaron Rodgers' situation as an NFL quarterback. I think that he knows in order for him to continue playing football, he wants to do it his way. He wants to have all the power. He wants to have all the control. He wants to be able to do things the way he wants to do. But after the Jets experiment went so poorly, his unfortunate injury, which was terrible, and I'm terrible. I feel bad that that happened to him, to be serious. But between his terrible injury, the terrible play, the lack of leadership, and the laughingstock that the Jets continue to be under his watch, he knows that if it's not the Jets, there are not going to be many teams signing up for the Aaron Rodgers experience. Baby, please!
Baby, please!
He sounded like me when I got dumped before my college graduation. Yeah, I mean, look, it's not like they're just going to walk him across the aisle and say, hey, I know they did make an announcement that he was getting let go, but it wasn't like he had to walk across, you know, the stage knowing he just got dumped or anything like that. Like, it wasn't so bad. But Aaron Rodgers was reportedly very desperate to try to come back to the New York Jets when they told him they thought it was a good idea to move on. And I think if you're another NFL team, I think you look at this Jets situation and I would look very cautiously in terms of bringing Aaron Rodgers in. Because what I've been saying about Rodgers, and it unfortunately held true, because again, I want to make clear, I wanted Aaron Rodgers as a Jet. Even though I dislike a lot of things about Aaron Rodgers, I thought that if he was able to get some fire in the belly, if he was able to be motivated, if he had the right support, if he had the right buy-in, that maybe he could turn the Jets around. But the unfortunate thing about Aaron Rodgers is I think the player that you are getting is a diminished player. And it is a guy who may put up quote-unquote good numbers, but those numbers are extremely deceiving. Because if you look at his last two seasons of playing full seasons, because we can talk all about, oh, well, last year he's coming off an Achilles, give him a break. I think if you look at his season with the Jets as well as his season with the Packers, you'll see similar numbers. This idea that Aaron Rodgers was this far better quarterback with the Packers before his Achilles injury in the last year in Green Bay is not true. His numbers are pretty much identical in the last year with the Jets and the last year with the Green Bay Packers. What did the Packers do? They missed the playoffs, won 8 games. The Jets won 5 games, were one of the laughingstocks of the league. So Aaron Rodgers may come to a situation. He may put up numbers. He may bring a lot of hype to your team. But is he winning football games? Is he competing with some of the best in the NFL at this point in his career? That answer is a resounding no.
Ah. Scott, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.